Andre Nell joins us again today as Mindset Coach to help us become unstoppable here on eRadio. Welcome to another podcast with myself, Jan, and Andre Nell. Today, discussing habits. Andre, are you well?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm really excited for today's episode. I think there's going to be a lot of actionable value in the episode. How are you doing?
Definitely. I'm great. Thank you so much. I just want us to talk about the term habit first. What is a habit? How would we define it?
A habit is something you do without thought. It's something that you do automatically. It's something that's very easy for you to do. Some habits that we might not be aware of habits are things like brushing your teeth, writing on a piece of paper, unlocking your phone. All of these little things that we can do without thinking about them, without putting too much effort into them, those are what we would call habits.
Okay, so not necessarily a bad thing. It's just an everyday thing. But then you obviously get the bad habits as well. So yeah. What would that be? Is that like would that be smoking?
Sure. I mean, I think it has been definitively linked to causing lung cancer and things like that. So I would say a bad habit is smoking.
So smoking.
I don't want to offend anybody, but
I think they all know it because it's actually literally written on the packet of cigarettes when you buy it.
That's true.
It tells you. Yeah, that's true. It's gonna kill you. I don't think we can be more clear.
Yeah. I read about that the other day. I heard about it, that they had to do. I think it was 700 or 7,000 studies on that definitively link smoking to lung cancer before they made any clear laws or policies about it in the States. I think it was either 700 or 7,000. To me, that was a staggering number. You know,
it is. It is, but now everybody is replacing smoking with vaping. That's another new thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not outlawed in a lot of countries.
I'm not sure if it's better or worse,
Yeah, it's not outlawed.
Do you know if it's better or worse?
I don't know. It's supposed to be a better alternative, but it would seem to me that it's also not good, you know.
Is it better just because it smells better, or is it better because they say it's better? Or
I don't know. I don't know. Obviously don't smoke and also don't vape, but you see people vaping and it's more discreet, you know. It's like, it's not as obvious as somebody who's smoking, you know, because you can smell it and you can see it and everything. But vaping, you can do a bit, actually do it skellum, you know, they can do it at an airport without people even noticing.
Yeah. I think it's more of it seems cooler also to vape.
Yeah, and you get all those nice flavors, you know. With cigarettes, you only get menthol and whatever you call it, you know, or the usual one, or light or whatever. And with vaping, you get all kinds of flavors, grape. I must say the grape one actually looks nice. I don't know.
Hypothetically, which flavor would you choose?
Definitely. Grape or cherry. And you?
Really? I would choose coffee. 100%.
Oh, do you get a coffee one? I don't even know.
Yeah, here in China, you definitely get a coffee one. Lots of people drink coffee, you know, for the caffeine in the wake up. I can't start my day without coffee. You know, people say these things. I genuinely like coffee for the taste. So I would, if I had to vape, you know, vape to my head, I would choose coffee flavor just because I think it tastes good, yeah.
And I wonder if you can actually smell the coffee one as well, if people are smoking it near you, if they're vaping near you. Can you smell? Does it smell like somebody's brewing coffee? I wonder.
I hope so. That would be great. If they're going to vape, please, we should at least benefit from it.
Yeah, exactly. But so, Andre, how do we choose the right habits? Is that even possible?
Yes, it's possible. So I wanted to share a quick blueprint on you know, how to get started, and I think it ties into your question. So what happens with a lot of people is they have this idea in their head of something that they'd like to do, or they just actually like to change their habits with no intended outcome or goal in mind. So I think the first step to choosing the right habit is deciding which outcome you would like to have and what habits you need to get to that outcome. If you're just changing a habit for the sake of changing a habit, I think it is less likely to last in your life. A short blueprint that you could use for this process would be to answer the simple question of, I'm going to pose it to you, feel free to actually give your answer if you have one. If you could get everything that you wanted in the next 6 to 12 months, what would you like your life to look like and what would you like to have? Do you have an answer to that question?
Oh, I need some time.
Okay, never mind. I'll let you think about it. So This is a question where you kind of just open up the possibilities. Imagine you could get everything that you wanted. What would you like to have? And I would encourage the person to take a piece of paper and a pen and write down a few things. You know, I have this, I live there, I earn this, you know, I own that, something like that. So then you've got your outcome. From there, it becomes much easier to choose the right habit because you know why you're choosing the right habit. If you're just choosing a habit because, the news says I need to eat more vegetables or scientists say this, it's not a very effective motivator. So once you've got your outcome, what I then suggest is take a few minutes and write down every single thing you can think of that you could possibly do that'll help you move towards this outcome. So whether it's small or big, crazy or realistic, whether you think it's like the worst idea in the world or the best idea in the world, whether you think it'll actually help or not, anything that you can think of that you believe in some way could move you even an inch closer towards the outcome that you want, you write it down on a piece of paper. From there, you have this list of all of these habits. And if we're pulling on our last episode on the mindset, anything that you think of that you can conceive in your mind, any thought, means that you can achieve it in reality because you wouldn't think of it if you couldn't achieve it. So everything there could be useful in some way if you approach it with the right mindset. So once you have that list, there's a very simple two-step process to choosing the right habit. Take the list, go through the list, and every single or through for each item, put a star next to it if you think that it will be easy for you to do. So everything that's easy for you to do, you put a star next to that. So you've got your list, you've got your outcome, your list, and you're putting a bunch of stars next to things that you think could be easy. For example, if you're trying to lose weight, doing one push-up, that's fairly easy, right? Doing 100 push-ups, that's quite difficult. Eating one apple a week, that's fairly easy compared to, you know, 3 apples a day or something. I'm just making stuff up now. You put a star next to everything that's easy. Then you go through the list again and you put a circle next to each item that you think will be most effective or impactful in getting you to the outcome that you'd like to have. So once you've done that, you'll have a list and a few items on the list will have either stars next to them, circles next to them. They can be any shape, by the way. I'm just using stars and circles. Some of them will have stars and circles. Some things you might think are very easy to do and they'll be effective in helping you reach your outcome. Those are the habits and the actions, the behaviors that you want to start with. The ones that are both easy and effective. If you don't have any that you think are both easy and effective, just start with something easy. I think it breaks a misconception that a lot of people have. I think sometimes this advice floats around as well, you know, where when you start your day, just do the most difficult thing you can think of that'll take the most time and just finish it because you'll feel such a sense of accomplishment. I think that's the completely wrong way to approach it. I think that you should do the absolute easiest thing that you could do. Really celebrate yourself and praise yourself for doing it. Feel a sense of accomplishment. Feel that you're working towards your outcome. And in doing that, I believe that you will build a habit much faster and much easier. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It really does. I was busy writing and all that stuff, doing the circles and little dots and stars here, but my pen just came in. So I'll have to do it afterwards with the listeners.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I think if I were to say it verbally, it might be more confusing than what it actually is. It's really just making a list and choosing the easiest thing to do from that list while keeping your outcome in mind. If I had to summarize it in one sentence, you know. Yeah. That would be my advice.
So, yeah. Andre, is it easy to change habits?
I think it can be easier if you focus on the right, on changing a habit in the right way. So behavior, so habits are behaviors that you do again and again. So behavior is made up of three components. It's the motivation that you have to do the behavior, the ability that you have to do the behavior, and the prompt or the environment or the cue or whichever word you want to use that prompts you then to do the behavior. So for example, when your bladder is full, you're motivated to go to the bathroom because if you don't, you're gonna wet yourself. You're able to go to the bathroom because you've been potty trained. And you're prompted to go to the bathroom because, you know, your bladder is saying, help, I'm really full, you little dons. So that's a simple illustration of that model. Motivation, ability, and prompt. The easiest way to change a habit is not by changing your motivation. The easiest way to change a habit is first by looking at the prompt, by looking at your environment and in structuring your environment in such a way that you make the habit that you're doing more difficult to do or make the habit that you want to do easier to do, that it kind of screams out at you that you need to do it. Think of, putting an alarm on your alarm clock. That's a really big prompt, right? It's literally a loud sound telling you to wake up. You've structured your environment in such a way that you've set an alarm that's telling you to wake up. And of course, waking up is very important to you. So if the habit that you want to change or choose, you know, if you want to choose a new habit, you should see it as important as waking up in the day. And so you should structure your environment in such a way that that habit then becomes easier to do. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. And then as for the bad habits, how do we break those bad habits?
So what you do is you do the reverse of how you would choose a new habit or change a habit. So for example, if one of your habits is, do you have a bad habit? Let's see if we could use a practical example. Jeez. Like any little habit that you could think of or something that you want to stop, anything.
Once again.
Or are you perfect?
No, obviously I'm perfect.
Perfect.
No, I don't know. Maybe some of it's a bit personal. So I can't.
Okay,
I can't,
no problem.
But I don't smoke. I can tell you that much.
Okay.
Habits, nasty habits. Maybe binge watching a series for too long and not being active. I don't know. Is that a bad habit?
Cool. I mean, if it's not aligned with what you want to do, then yeah.
Yeah, I know it's not right.
For you to be a habit, yeah. So in that sense, you know, there's no real way that you could change your motivation. You already want to be more healthy and active. And even though you are motivated, it's not really changing the fact that you're binge watching a series, right? So starting with motivation, I would say, is the wrong way to go about changing a habit. The right way would be to design your space, your environment in such a way that binge watching kind of becomes more difficult for you to do, okay? So that means that you can ask yourself a few questions. How can I increase the time it takes for me to set everything up so that I can binge watch series? How can I increase the cost, you know, the physical financial cost of continuing this habit? How can I make it more difficult, like physically, to perform this habit of binge watching? For there, you know, you could hide your laptop in a place that's really hard to reach, you know, behind something. It's the example of, I read it once, where musicians, you know, if you want to start learning an instrument, there's no use, you know, putting the instrument in a wonderful case in the closet, in the spare bedroom, in the corner, you know. You're not going to practice playing guitar if the guitar is all the way over there. However, if you put it in front and center, you know, in your living room where you can see it every day, you're more likely to practice the guitar instead of, let's say, binging series or something like that. So again, it's about looking at your environment and your space and seeing how you can manipulate that, making things more expensive for you to do that bad habit, or increasing the time it takes, increasing your physical, your mental, your creative ability to do that habit, you know, like just making it more effort to do the thing that you want to stop doing. And the last component I would say is working on your identity in relation to the habit. So you brought up the smokers thing, and I actually wanted to bring it up myself later on, but since you did it so eloquently for me, I'll just jump on your smoking bandwagon. If you could change your identity, like let's say you want to stop smoking, okay, and somebody offers you a cigarette, and you tell them, you say, no thanks, I'm trying to quit smoking. First of all, congratulations for saying that and standing up for yourself. But second, take a closer look at the language that you're using. Take a closer look at how the language that you're using creates your identity in relation to smoking. That person is not saying that they're no longer a smoker. They're not even saying that they're successfully quitting smoking. They're just saying that they're trying to quit. And so it's a nuanced, practical example of how you can change your identity in relation to the habit that you want to stop. For instance, it's a much more powerful statement to the other person and to yourself if they offer you a cigarette to say, no thanks, I'm not a smoker. Immediately, just by changing a few words, you've shifted your whole mindset about your identity in relation to smoking. By saying that you're trying to quit smoking, you still see yourself as a smoker who's trying to quit. And by seeing yourself as a smoker, you may be creating a space where perhaps you will fall into it again. But by seeing yourself as somebody who absolutely doesn't smoke, who's not a smoker, you are reaffirming your identity. And by doing that, you're going to create less opportunity or less experiences where you might be tempted to smoke. So looking at your identity in relation to the habit that you want to stop is a really powerful way of stopping that behavior. Perhaps if you stop, to use the binge watching example, if you see yourself as somebody who never watches, you know, binge watches series, or who's someone who's more of a reader compared to a TV watcher, just by shifting your identity, you'll find that you'll start to crave that habit less and less and less.
That's a very, very interesting approach. Andre, thank you. Now, quickly, any myths or misconceptions when it comes to habits?
I think that all habits are boring. That's a big myth that a lot of people have.
Mm.
You know, we think of habits, and perhaps some people who even read the title of the episode, they were like, ugh, habits, you know, that's going to be boring. I've heard that a thousand times. But habits, they're such an essential part of your life, because most things that you do are habit, you know. Even the pocket that you put your car keys in or something like that, you know, it seems silly, but it's a habit, you know. When your phone dings and you pick it up immediately, that's a habit. You've been cued to pick up your phone when the sound rings. You're able to do that, and you're motivated to do that because it might be somebody who likes your picture, and that makes you feel good. So not all habits are boring. And I think another one that I'm kind of excited to speak about is that not all habits are habits of the body. A lot of habits that are actually most influential in your life are habits of the mind, habits of thought, of emotion. I'm not sure if me saying that, you know, resonates with you in some way.
Yeah. We get into a habit of thinking, you know, in a specific way, or, you know, assuming the worst, all that kind of stuff. That's also a habit. It's something that you just go to by default as a response.
Yeah, absolutely. And habits of thought and of feeling, you know, they play such a big role in the kind of life that you're going to create for yourself. Because if I have the habit of, whenever something doesn't go my way, of looking at myself, and my habit is that I try to analyze where I went wrong and how I can improve the next time, that's a great habit. But if somebody, for instance, if something doesn't go their way and their habitual thought pattern is to think of themselves as a failure or not good enough, or, oh, I knew I wasn't going to do that or wasn't going to be able to do that, that's a mental habit which is very destructive. And I would challenge people, whoever's listening, you know, your habits are not only physical things that you do, but they're also mental acts.
very important. Finally, Andre, how do you tackle habits in your coaching program?
So habits are stored and maintained and run by your subconscious mind. We've touched a bit on subconscious mind, you know, in previous episodes. But again, you know, that's the part of your mind that's out of your control and out of your awareness most of the time, which is why habits come so automatically to you, you know, unlocking your car door, brushing your teeth, the order in which you put on your shoes, things like that. So in my coaching program, we take a much more subconscious mind approach to tackling habits. Obviously, the things that I've shared today are very conscious methods, you know, creating a list and things like that. And we do that in the coaching program. But we also tackle your habits from a subconscious perspective, meaning that we figure out how your subconscious mind stores your habits, the rewards that are attached to the habits, the mental images of yourself that are attached to the habits that you have, and we can actually change those and reprogram those towards habits that you would like to have. So if you take a great habit that you have, you take the picture that you have of that, feeling that you have of that, if you can transfer that to a new habit that you want to build, you actually already install that habit in your subconscious mind much quicker and easier than the conscious approach like the one I've shared today. And so you can start incorporating that habit into your life much quicker and much easier than what you would if you had to take, you know, the slow conscious approach of building out a list and doing all of those things and focusing on your motivation and your willpower. So I take the approach of, I look at habits from a desire power perspective, not a willpower perspective. You know, the conventional approach to habits is you got to have a lot of willpower. You know, it's going to suck, but you just have to eat your vegetables or wake up early to exercise to be healthy. And yes, there are times when you need to be disciplined like that. But I take the approach of desire power, which is your mind sees such reward and such fulfillment in the new habit that you want to do that it automatically helps you to do it easily and quickly, and it automatically pushes you to do it, not where you feel like it's going to take a lot of effort or drain your energy, but because you already see the rewards and the positive image that's connected to the habit and to the eventual outcome of that habit.
Excellent. Andre, thank you so much. Your website quickly and your social media details so we can get in touch with you to sign up for your coaching program or any other help that we may need.
Absolutely. So my website, andrenlcoaching.com. My email, andre@andrenlcoaching.com. I welcome all emails. My social media is Andre Nell Coaching, I think, on Instagram and Facebook. I'm not very active on social media, so I prefer, you know, emails or booking just a free session with me through my website, because for anybody wondering, the first session is free, you know. It's a chance for you to get in touch with me, to connect with me, and to find some clarity without any cost or, you know, like long-term obligation attached to it. So I'd encourage anybody who has any questions or who would like to connect or learn more, go to my website. There's a free breakdown of my coaching program, which you can get. There is the book I accidentally wrote, you know, that we spoke about in the first episode.
Awesome.
That's available for free on the website. And then, of course, a free coaching session, which
also
will help
for free
you to get a greater understanding of what you need.
Andre, and then just quickly, you mentioned social media. Social media, would that also be a habit?
I think it is, yeah.
Checking your phone, going online.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there is such a reward attached to it, you know.
Yeah.
One important aspect of habits that we didn't touch on too much today is the celebration or reward.
Man,
you know, social media gives such a big reward when, you know, when somebody likes your post or just anything. You get a message on social media, especially if it's something that's new to you. It really gives you a rush, you know. I don't know how you see social media or how often you use it, but
only for business maybe, or sharing jokes, because I love sharing jokes and funny memes and stuff.
Memes and videos and all of those things.
I find, you know, that laughter is a great coping mechanism as well. But I think social media, definitely, it's a bad habit, actually. You know, constantly checking who's liking your post, who checked in where, who's eating what. And then, as you mentioned, that serotonin boost that you get as well when you see that 500 people just liked your photo of where you are on holiday, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, on that, you know, again, a lot of people would tackle, if they perceive themselves to have a problem with social media, they'd tackle it from a motivation point of view, you know, that this is bad for me because it's not getting the results that I want. But I would challenge that point of view and say, for example, for me, I get no notifications from social media. I've turned it off on my phone.
Good.
And so I've designed my environment, my phone, in such a way so that I'm not prompted to go on social media unless I know I'm having a conversation with someone, you know, through messaging, or if I've got some free time and I genuinely just want to laugh and have a good time and share jokes.
You're doing it right, so Andre.
Designing your phone in such a way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're doing it right. I think that's the best way.
I took a look at a video of laughter yoga.
Oh, did you?
It is very strange to me.
It is. It's quite funny.
I didn't know what you meant. I thought perhaps, you know, the yoga instructor tells some jokes while they're doing yoga, but it seems it's not like that at all.
No. No, it's not like that at all. But it's something different, hey? I've never seen it until a year or so ago. I never even knew about it.
Yeah. Would you try it?
Oh, yes. No, definitely, eh? Yeah, I would. Yeah. It looks like fun.
Yeah. It must be quite weird, you know, especially dealing with the strangers.
Yeah.
Because from what I could gather, at some point you just start randomly laughing.
I would just crack up. Eh? I would just collapse with the laughter, actually. I wouldn't even be able to stand in a pose or anything. I would just collapse completely. Oh, I would crash.
Laughter lying down wouldn't even be yoga.
Oh, my word. Andre, as always, thank you so much, and until next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it again. Thank you so much for indulging me in conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
All right. Goodbye.